We're going to talk a little bit now about social media and trust, or maybe we should say social media and the lack of trust. It's our Tuesday visit with the trustworthy Scott Kleinberger, digital and social media strategy expert. Whenever there's a major news story, whether it's storms, elections, whatever, we hop online, and a lot of people get lost in a sea of social media. But, Scott, it feels harder than ever to know what's real, doesn't it?
It does. Good morning, Bob. You know, the reason social media is what it is because it rewards whatever grabs attention, not whatever is accurate. The faster and louder something spreads, the more visibility it gets. And the problem is the truth takes time to verify, and lies, they spread like wildfire in seconds.
Right. And it almost feels like people are too trusting of whatever they see scroll by.
That's exactly right. We've trained ourselves to believe that if it's online and a lot of people are sharing it, then it must be true. But popularity is not the same as accuracy.
Yeah, we were talking about this here the other day. You see a headline and it's like clickbait, and so many people don't even click into the story. And if they did, they'd find that sometimes the story has nothing to do with the headline. You know what I mean?
Very, very much. And the problem with that is, even if they were to click into the story, are they going to read the story? There's like a whole extra layer in there.
Yeah. And people sometimes just look at a headline that's false and they spread that. Remind us again about the difference between misinformation and disinformation. That's always important to know.
Absolutely. Misinformation is when someone shares something false but doesn't realize it's wrong, like we're talking about. Disinformation is when it's shared on purpose to deceive. Intent is the key difference.
So then what do we do if you're just someone trying to stay informed? How do you swim through all of that noise?
It's a great question. First thing is to slow down. Don't hit the share button instantly, because if a story makes you feel shocked, angry, even too good to be true, that can be a red flag. Emotions make us less careful. So step one, which is a very important step, is take a deep breath and pause.
Yep, need to do that. And beyond that, what are some giveaways that a post or a headline might not be trustworthy?
You want to look for a few things. First, who's behind the info? If the source is a random website you've never heard of, be very cautious. Second, check the headline against the body of the text. Sometimes the headline is sensational, like we were saying, but when you read deeper, it doesn't actually say at all what the headline promised. And third, sloppy spelling or grammar can be a true giveaway. Reputable outlets usually check that stuff.
Boy, being aware of a source you've never heard of, a website you never heard of, that is such a good bit of advice, because I know lately I have really paid attention to where that headline is coming from, and more often than not now I'm not clicking in at all. And you see these dramatic headlines with blurry pictures, or they'll use a celebrity photo even though the story isn't even about that person, right?
Exactly, because in that case, someone might just be trying to get you to click. But if it looks like it could have been designed in 5 minutes, that's also a warning sign, because quality journalism looks very different from clickbait. It's one of those when you know scenarios.
Yeah, talk a little bit more, too, about speed and being fast, and why that matters so much in all this.
It matters so much because on social platforms, the first version of a story is the one that goes viral, even if that version turns out to be wrong. Corrections never get the same traction, and a lot of people never see the correction. So for us as users, it's so much better to wait for confirmation instead of jumping on that hot take right away.
Yeah, like waiting for the second day story in the newspaper back in the day.
Exactly. And the patience of that earlier era, Bob, could really help us now. And it's funny you bring that up, because when I was at the Tribune way back when, and social media was in its infancy, I had this thing that I would say to anyone who would listen. And I say it to this day. Being first is one thing. Being right is everything.
Yep. Talking with Scott Kleinberg about how important accuracy is, much more important than speed. So, Scott, say you slow down and you want to check whether something is accurate. What are the options?
I would take some simple steps. First, start by seeing if a trusted outlet like the Associated Press or Reuters or NPR, just something major, has reported it. Then use fact-checking sites like Snopes or PolitiFact because they've gotten really good at tracking viral claims. Then look for local sources if a story is from your own area. So for example, if social media is tracking a giant explosion nearby, but no local media is reporting it, that's a telltale sign something's wrong. And whether that's misinformation or disinformation doesn't actually really matter at that point. It's an attempt to get something to circulate on social media. And this is where it gets sad because it doesn't take much these days for that to happen.
Yeah. That Snopes site is a really helpful one. Local reporters really don't get enough credit when it comes to accuracy, do they?
That's absolutely true. But local reporters verify in ways that national outlets sometimes can't.
But here's the thing, and we alluded to this earlier. Most of us get news because someone we know shares it. That's true in a lot of cases. I don't know if that's true for people in the business like us, but you have a family member, a friend sharing information, and that adds another layer, doesn't it?
And this is where it gets tricky. I mean, when that person shares a story, you want to trust them. But here's the key. You can respect a person while still questioning the source. A helpful trick might be to ask gently, hey, I saw that you shared this. Do you know where this came from? And that way, it's about the information. You're not trying to accuse the person.
Exactly. That could save a lot of arguments.
Exactly. Keep the conversation human but helpful.
Some people might be thinking, so what? If something's wrong online, no big deal. But it really does matter more than ever now, I think.
It really matters so much because misinformation changes how people act. Think about health decisions during the pandemic or voting decisions in elections or safety in natural disasters. If you follow bad info, you can make bad choices. Accuracy is about being right. We said that earlier. But it's also about protecting yourself and others.
It's so much more than just avoiding embarrassment. It really makes a difference.
Yeah. And when you stop and think about it, it's also about trust in society. If too many of us give up on figuring out what's true, it's dangerous ground. And sadly, that's happening around us.
So to wrap up, give us some good habits people can use every day. What's your checklist, Scott?
Yeah, I would say start with pausing before sharing. Emotions shouldn't drive clicks. Read past the headline. Make sure the story matches the claim. Double check the source. Ask yourself, who wrote this story and why did they write it? Compare outlets. Check and see if more than one trusted source is covering it. Use those fact check sites like Snopes and PolitiFact. They exist to help us. And finally, admit to your mistakes. If you shared something that's wrong, take it down and update it. And that helps to rebuild trust.
We all know someone guilty of passing along misinformation. So we'll post this conversation here in a couple hours, WGNRadio.com. You may want to send this to someone you know. Anyway, it's a lot of practical advice. It doesn't sound impossible at all, Scott.
No, and it's not about being perfect. It's just about being a little bit more careful.
Well, I think you've helped all of us slow down a little bit today. Social media and trust may not go hand in hand, but we don't have to give up. We shouldn't have to give up on accuracy. We better not give up on that.
That's exactly right. We can't stop misinformation from existing, but we can certainly stop being the ones who's spreading it.
Let's get to the Genius Bar question for Scott Kleinberg today. And this is something that I want to know about. In connection with the Charlie Kirk assassination, we have heard a lot about Discord, the Discord server. Am I the only one who doesn't know what Discord is? Can you explain it, Scott?
Well, don't feel bad. A lot of people don't know what Discord is. It's really, it's an online platform. It's designed for conversation and community. So if you think about it at its very base, it's text messaging, voice calls, video chat in one place, and it allows people to gather in groups. Now, on Discord, these groups are called servers, and they're organized around shared interests. So a server can be about any hobby. They can be public. They can be private. And within them, there's different channels that you can set up for specific topics or types of content. It really is, if you think about it, it is the fanciest version of a text group chat that there could be. And it started as a tool for gamers, but it became something entirely different. And now it's used by this larger audience, as you were talking about.
So how would one get on Discord?
Well, it's an app or a website, so you can go to I think it's discord.com, but I use the app, and you can just download it, and then you can search for different servers. But usually somebody who has a server will advertise it somewhere and say, join our Discord server. And if it's a free server where you don't know premium type of thing, you can join it. It'll appear in the app. It'll give you a bunch of folders and things where you can see the different elements of that chat. And you just start chatting. It's a really interesting place. Once you get inside of it, it's like a combination of social media with text messaging. It's almost like the best of both worlds.
So it's not necessarily something that's more private and for anyone who wants to hide their identity. It's nothing connected to that, is it?
Well, it can be. I mean, you could have a private server and it could be a very private place where no one goes. But a lot of people now are really trying to have this public place where you can chat. And that's because I think people are still searching for the next, where do I go on social media? We've had that conversation before. You know, Twitter became X. X is not Twitter. Facebook is a weird place to talk. You know, so Discord becomes this place where you can go and you can gather and hopefully find like-minded people talking about like-minded things.
Thank you for that explanation, Scott Kleinberg. Talk to you next week, Scott.
Take care, Bob.